Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Neinor Homes results presentation for the first six months of 2017. The presentation today will consist of the following. Our CEO, Juan Velayos, will present the results for the first half of 2017 and the outlook for the business. Following that, our CFO, Jordi Argemí, will present the financial overview of the semester in detail. The team presentation will be followed by a questions and answer session. At any time during the presentation, I invite you to send your questions through the Submit a Question to the Presenter window in the webcast application. I also remind you that this webcast is being recorded and will be available 2 days from now for replay for 12 months on demand. Additionally, within the next few days, a transcript of this presentation will also be available for you to download. Juan, let us begin.
Thank you very much, Juan. A pleasure being here this afternoon again with all of you in order to present our results for first semester of 2017. Basically, let me introduce my speech with the conclusions. I would like to say that from a modest position, I would like to say that this has been a clear outperformance in H1. Let me try to justify this clear outperformance, yet with some key indicators of the company. The first one is about the macro. The macro, it's really supportive. It's been even more supportive than it used to be in Q1. Basically, I say that because we have revisited the expectations for the GDP in a +0.5%, bringing it to more than 3% for year 2017. Housing affordability mortgages continue growing, and you know that that's critical for our business. The HPA is still 30% below peak, but growing significantly. For the overall country, we have a 5.3%. The number of housing starts keeps growing, more than 20% in Q1, but still far away from the peak. I would say that the macro environment is still very supportive. I will expand in a second. Regarding Neinor, what are the critical KPIs, which have been our commitment with you investors since the very beginning, and what has happened in H1? Regarding acquisitions, it has been an exceptional semester. 79% of our target of 200 million has already been achieved. More than 157 million have been acquired in exceptional lands, as we will discuss in a second. With these 13 assets acquired in this semester, 1,750 units, we have brought our whole overall land bank to 10,700 units. The blended gross margins of these new acquisitions has been 28%, accretive to what we committed with you in our IPO. Second milestone, pre-sales. Continue pushing very hard. We have brought our community pre-sales to roughly 600 million euros, gives high visibility on 2017, 2018, and 2019 revenues, as we will discuss in a second. The semester itself has been extremely strong, 250 million pre-sold. This means 721 units. This means above expectations, in a 12% on units, and above expectations on a 20% on volumes. Next critical milestone of this company, development activity. What's going on the development activity? Good news. We have had, since the IPO during this year, already three deliveries, 153 units with a gross margin of 27%. This company begins to deliver on time and on budget. In addition to that, the company continues with a strong development activity. As we speak, we have 4,800 units, 64 active sites, with a gross margin, reported gross margin of 30%. It's not only that. On these pre-sales, what we have been seeing is that the HPA capture is significantly above of our expectations, 3.9 ahead of them, bringing the overall HPA of H1 to 4.8%. Final milestones that you track in detail and that we committed in our IPO. What's going on with our ancillary businesses. First thing, legacy. Our legacy in H1, we have already sold, registered 40% of the whole legacy assets. This means 87 million already sold with the cash in and already reinvested in our core business and through the acquisition of land. This has brought our the book value of our legacy assets to 134 million, and these sales have been sold as reported and as announced, just above book values in a 3%. And the last message regarding the milestones, the servicing keeps on track, on budget, not only on budget, 6% above expectations with 9.5 million EBITDA during this H1. And regarding financial statements, Jordi will go in further detail in a few minutes, but I will just emphasize a couple of messages. 127.5 million of revenues, that means 9% above year-to-date expectations, and we have revisited the valuation of our assets with an external appraisal that has increased our NAV in 110 million. That brings our LTV, that you know that we keep tracking in carefully, below or on 20%. The cash available in the company is still very strong, taking into consideration the acquisitions done, it's still of 53.6 million. Let me go in further detail of these critical milestones. The macro, I just would like to emphasize three main ideas. I know that you are very supportive to macro, and I don't need to convince you and dedicate many time to this. Unemployment has declined to 17.7%. That it's as you know, a critical indicator for seeing the increase of demand. Second critical KPI, the number of houses starts has gone to almost 18,000 in Q1. This brings the overall year, our visibility in the overall year, to almost 80,000 probably, some number roughly around that 80,000, but still far away from the demand, existing demand. That imbalance between supply and demand will continue pushing HPA, the house price appreciation. And I would say, as final message, the number of mortgages that has increased to almost 80,000 in Q1 2017. Still far away from the peaks, but the banks are willing to grant mortgages, and these are exceptional news for us. Second concept that I would like to discuss with you, what's going on with the competition? We are beginning to see that this market, as we have anticipated, it's consolidating, and it's consolidating with a very disciplined competition. The number of players that are taking leading roles in this new market are already there. Some of them, probably you are aware of them and have even visited you because they are in the IPO path set up by Neinor a few months ago. And this is good news for Neinor, and this is good news for the sector. We are seeing 5 to 10 players that are just leading this market consolidation, and they are disciplined in the mean that they have the same equity approach, and that means discipline in the land acquisition programs. We can discuss far away. I have had discussions with a number of you about these competitors, but I think that we will begin to have peers, and our competitors are more than welcome. Regarding, I'm going just into details. The first detail that I would like to emphasize is the acquisition, the 79%, this exceptional semester that the company has done in acquisitions. I can tell you that the assets acquired, you have assumed in the presentation that I have sent, I can tell you that are exceptional assets in the best locations with 28% gross margins. We have always been proud of our origination capacities and of our execution capacities. And I think that the demonstration is in the acquisitions of this H1. But it's not only that. We have 28 million that we are in the due diligence process, in the net discussions process, some of them going to the notary within the following days, weeks. So I would say that the that the target of 200 million for year 2017 is almost done. What next? The company is working in evaluating different structures in order to anticipate 2018 acquisitions. Probably and hopefully within the following weeks, months, we will have news, because we are thinking that it might make sense take advantage of our origination, execution, and of the still opportunistic market that we have in front of us. Next concept that I would like to discuss with you, NAV. We have always, we have also had good news regarding NAV. We announced that we wanted to be very disciplined, that we wanted to share with you investors external appraisals, and we have added the same valuators that did the appraisal for the IPO for the numbers at December 31st that revisited our land bank. The final conclusions of that is that the GAV, the gap, has increased to 1,342,000,000. This is 224 million plus to the numbers that you remember from December 2016. How this increase in value is split? In the like for like, just taking the same land plots that were evaluated within, during and December 16, we have a 6% value appreciation. Why? Because the external valuator has been able to confirm that we are selling at a price of the unit higher than the one that they have taken into consideration in the previous valuation. And why? The second why is because in those land plots that they cannot, that they don't have units sold by Neinor and a higher valuation, they have comparables that show that this, that the units are sold at a higher valuation. So that has brought our like-for-like land plot valuations to a 6% increase. And the second message, in my opinion, even stronger. The land plots that we have acquired during H1 have a 12% appreciation. Why? Because they were acquired in the first Q1 in areas that have had a strong revaluation after Neinor has acquired them. And why? Because we have been able to buy portfolios, or we have been able to buy difficult transactions, putting together a seller, a bank, or a portfolio. Because of the resource and because of this origination and execution capacities, we have had this 12% appreciation in land plots acquired during this H1. If we deduct to these numbers the deliveries of H1, these 22 million, brings the final number of our land bank to 1.3 billion valuation. Next important concept, pre-sales. I have just anticipated some comments at the beginning of this discussion, but I would like to emphasize a number of comments. Q2 has been exceptional. We have increased sales by 26%. This has brought the total numbers of H1 to 721 units. And to 251 million euros. I anticipate that by definition in Spain, and because of the seasonality, Q3 will be will not be as strong as Q1 as Q2. But our perception about the second H2 is really good because of one thing. If you see your graph in your right, you see that we have been able to have 658 new units in the market. From 33 sites, we have today 40 sites under commercialization. And this number of sites will continue increasing during the following months. So we are positive for what's going to happen in this H2. Next important concept that I know that you will, that you take a lot into consideration is the HPA. You know that in 2017, our business plan has just taken into consideration a 0.9% HPA. 2018 onwards, you know that the average was at 3.8%, but in 2017, we have understood that the prices were already there. The momentum of the market momentum, the quality of our product, and I would say that our go-to-market strategy has allowed us to increase prices up to a 4.8% HPA. Okay? These are extremely good news. And the final message, the average selling price year to date is 348 million euros. If you compare to the valuation of Savin, that it's 291,000 euros per unit, I would not like that you say that this is a dramatic increase about the valuation of Savin, because obviously it depends in a land per land analysis. But good news from a pre-sales strategy. Some other comments that I would like to emphasize is the visibility that this 600 million pre-sales gives to us. I would say that more than 90% of the sales of the deliveries of 2017 are already pre-sold. Basically, you have checked that each and every delivery that we have done is with a 100% sold. For 2018, the company has today more than a 70% visibility, and for 2019, we have more than a 15% visibility. So strong visibility on our revenue line. Next, what about development activity? I was just anticipating it. I think that this is the other healthy indicator that we have in the company. The company is aggressively and very disciplined through its industrial model, being able to bring new products to the market. During H1, we have had 18 new launches, 1,478 new units. We have had 5 new construction starts, and we continue approving, as has happened today in the board, new construction starts. That means that today we have 64 active developments. This is 4,800 units. And that means that 44% of our land bank is active today. But if we continue going to the construction, to the WIP, the company, because of the 3 deliveries that we have already had this year, today we are with an 18 sites under construction. And all of them are on time and on budget, with a reported gross margin of a 30%. So I would say that good news in development activity. But this good news begin to have what I would say that is the real track record, deliveries. This company is beginning to deliver, and it's beginning to deliver on the reported margins. You remember that in Q1, we had the first delivery of year 2017 with a reported gross margin of a 22%, in a land plot located, or a development located in Madrid, in Móstoles. During Q2, we have had 2 new deliveries, Las Salinas in Málaga and Port Forum in Barcelona. Both of them 100% sold, with a gross margin of 27 and 29%. We have been able to go to the notary for each and every unit except for 12 that are being notarized during July. And we have been able to implement our Neinor experience concept and our Neinor key day successfully with happy clients. And final comment before going, Jordi, to the financials. Just a message in connection with the ancillary businesses. I have already anticipated them. It's good news. We have been able to sell almost 40% of the legacy assets during H1. This means 16% ahead of the year-to-day expectations. With a 3% above book values, we have always said that you should take into consideration book values as a reference for this sales. It's a 3% up, and we just have 134 million. So I would say that the message is on track to the target set of the IPO at a minimum. And finally, the servicing contract. The servicing contract is performing as expected. 1.5 billion under management, 40 million revenues in H1, 6% ahead of the year-to-date expectations, and with an EBITDA of 9.5 million today. So a summary of the milestones, of the commitments of the IPO, I would say that it's a clear outperformance. Jordi, why don't go through the financials with further detail?
Absolutely. Thanks, Juan. In the section 3, as we've in Q1, we will cover the 3 financial statements: P&L, cash flow, and balance sheet. But before going into the details, let me show some key financial messages that summarize this section. The first one is that in line with the best market practices, Neinor Homes has performed a limited audit review for H1 2017, which resulted in an unqualified opinion by our auditor, Deloitte. The second one, as already explained in the prospectus and also Q1, the P&L for 2017 is still driven by the ancillary businesses. This means legacy and servicing, representing almost 80% of our total revenues. So the P&L is not representative of our core business, the development. However, having said that, there has been during Q2 an increasing weight of the development business, with 2 sites delivered at the margins expected. So thanks to this, the operating EBITDA for H1 has become positive, and the profit for Q2 has been 4 million euros, beating our business plan. Third message, together with a limited audit review, we have also performed an external evaluation for the development portfolio, as Juan commented before. The result is a GAV of over 1.3 billion euros, which represents an increase of 20% compared to the GAV as of December 2016. Fourth message, and related to the indebtedness of Neinor Homes. We have closed H1 with a total net debt of 301 million euros, which represents very solid debt ratios, and this means loan to value of 20% and loan to cost of 29%. And the fifth and last message is that despite we have anticipated significantly the land acquisition, as Juan has also commented before, we have been able to close H1 with a positive net cash flow of almost 30 million euros. A legacy sales acceleration and the primary of the IPO have allowed it. So having said that, let's go through details. Let's go through the main captions of the P&L that you have on your left-hand side in the slide number 17. Revenues, very strong H1 with 127.5 million euros, which represents 9% above our expectations. There has been a clear sales acceleration for the legacy business. Gross margin, 21%. Remember that in Q1 we closed with 14.9%. So this relevant increase comes from basically the 2 sites delivered in Q2 with an average gross margin of circa 28.5%. In any case, we will continue prioritizing volume rather than value or margin protection for the legacy business line. Operating EBITDA, already positive with 1.6 million euros, and it's completely aligned with our expectations. Remember the 2 concepts behind this operating EBITDA that I commented in Q1. It reflects the acceleration of the legacy product liquidation, and second, the ramp-up of the development business. Remember that from the prospectus that the revenues are only recognized in the P&L when the unit is delivered. This means that all units pre-sold, the 251 million euros during H1 and the order book of almost 600 million euros, is not yet recognized, but will be in the future. On the contrary, we do recognize some operating costs, such as marketing and property tax. Let's go for the adjusted EBITDA, negative by 0.8 million euros. It includes 2.4 million euros of provision linked to the property tax. As commented in Q1, and according to the International Financial Reporting Standards, we had to record January 1st a provision equivalent to the full year property tax expense. So this 2.4 million euros relates to the expense for the second half of the year. And finally, financial cost, almost 3 million euros, which implies a loss for the period of 4.2 million euros. And if you remember from Q1, we reported a loss of 8.2 million euros, which shows that we have recorded a profit of 4 million euros during this Q2. On top of this, the official and audited P&L includes 2 other concepts linked to the IPO. One is the IPO cost for a total amount of 2.1 million euros. At the end, the cost has been 0.5 million euros below what we assume in the report of Q1. And the second concept is the management incentive plan for an amount of 15 million euros. 14.4 million euros for the fixed component and 0.6 million euros for the variable component that we have already provisioned during this Q2. Remember that this incentive plan is fully paid by Lone Star. but due to accounting and technical reasons, we have had to record this cost in our P&L together with an increase of the equity being neutral for you investors. If we move on to the following slide, we have the cash flow statement. Some critical messages. We have closed H1 with a positive cash flow from operating activities of 0.4 million euros. Second message, negative free cash flow of 104.7 million euros. And the main reason is a strong investment in development inventories of over 200 million euros. On one side, we have acquired 157.5 million euros of new land, accelerating the land acquisition program. And on the other side, we have recorded a capex of roughly 50 million euros. The acceleration of the legacy divestment has reduced this negative free cash flow, as you can see in the book value sold caption of roughly 100 million euros. So conclusion, this negative free cash flow of 100 million euros has been basically financed with a primary capital of 100 million euros. And last concept in this slide, we have closed with a positive net cash flow of 31.8 million euros. Important to state here that it includes a deferred land payment of roughly 25 million euros that will be due in September of this year. So basically, we can conclude that all cash generated has been reinvested into high-quality, fully permitted land. In slide 19, we have the balance sheet. As in Q1, I will dip in the working capital and net debt positions in the following two slides. But I would only say here that we continue having a very solid, strong, and healthy balance sheet. Assets of 1.2 billion euros, equity of 725 million euros, and total liabilities of 465 million euros. Inventories, obviously are the most relevant caption, and we have already exceeded 1 billion euros, representing 87% of our total balance sheet. And out of this over 1 billion euros of inventories, legacy represents 134 million euros. Remember that as of December, we closed with 290 million euros. And if we look at the development stock, we have 905 million euros. And we come from 719 million euros as of December 2016. Very strong cash position, 95 million euros, of which 54 million euros is available. And last concept, capital employed of over 1 billion euros, slightly above our expectations due to the anticipation of the land acquisition program. Now, if we dip in the working capital, in slide 20, we have closed with 1,023 million euros of working capital, over 100 million euros increase compared to the end of period of 2016. If we go through the details, inventories, as commented, the main caption, then we have 52 million euros of debtors. That basically we have trade and receivables. This is basically the invoice from Cuchabank and some advance payments. And then tax receivables. This is the VAT from the land acquired that we have to receive from the tax authorities. Remember that it normally takes us 6 months to recover it. But in any case, we fully finance it through VAT facilities that we have. Then we have almost 42 million euros of cash and equivalent not available. As you may remember from Q1 and prospectus, we are extremely prudent. So we include as working capital the cash received and not used from the clients. Regarding liabilities, the most relevant concepts are creditors for an amount of almost 46 million euros that basically are constructors and suppliers, and other current liabilities of 63 million euros. And this is deposits received from our clients. This means that out of the total roughly 600 million euros of pre-sales, we have received over 60 million euros of cash. On top of this, relevant to state that this caption has increased by 31 million euros if you compare it with December 2016, and 23 million euros if you compare it with Q1. This is because we have converted several reservations into contracts. As of today, and as Juan commented before, 65% of our order book is already under contracts. So good news. And finally, on the right-hand side of this slide, we have further details on the most relevant caption of the working capital, inventories. The only comment could be that out of the 905 million euros of development stock, 240 million euros is work in progress. This means that 27% of our development stock is with cranes. And finally, we have the net debt in slide 21. We have closed H1 with a net debt of 301 million euros, very similar to the level of December 2016. As committed in Q1, this net debt will increase in the near future due to the capex that our business development will require. But in any case, as you can see in the right-hand side of the slide, we continue having very healthy ratios. Net debt equity of 42%, loan to cost of 29%, and loan to value of 20%. And last concept, following your suggestions, we have included more detail on the debt maturity. If you look at the last two figures, land financing for an amount of 134 million euros and corporate financing for an amount of 74 million euros, you will see that we do not have almost any relevant payment until 2019. As a result of this, the average life of the debt is almost 2 years. However, remember that once we launch the development, we novate the land financing and we link the maturity of the debt with the delivery date of the development. So we do expect to novate these 134 million euros of land financing. And then we have the last figure, which is the first one in the slide, the land and capex financing of those developments already launched for an amount of 92 million euros. What you see in the figure is the repayment calendar assuming the delivery dates that we have in our budget, in our business plan. Obviously, from a contractual perspective, this is not the maturity date. As you can see in the footnote, we usually have an additional grace period of 18 months over the delivery date, so no risk from this side.
Thank you, Jordi. I would like just to jump a little bit, but just throwing messages. We have the custom and the discipline to include some case studies, as you know. We have included in this case, but I'm not going to take into details, and I'm just going to try to be on time. In the case studies, we have included Las Rozas in Madrid in the acquisition site. It's an exceptional land plot. In the municipality that just as a reference is the 5th highest income per capita in Spain. We have been able to buy it within a portfolio with a significant ticket size, and that's good news that will come to the market soon, or very soon, with 336 new units to come into the Madrid market. In the immediate launches, we have included the case study of the Mairena homes. Mairena, you know that a very clear main strategy of buying land in natural expansion areas of big cities, in this case of Sevilla, and we are targeting a very specific product, a very good product in an area of expansion. Hopefully this will be in the market in Q4 2017 with 144 new units. In connection with the projects already launched, we have included Via Homes in Madrid, in Móstoles, and honestly, it has been a clear success. It began commercialization in Q2. We have already more than 30% pre-sales, and we have been able to capture a 5.6 HPA. And regarding the work in progress, the WIP, we have included Urdulit, another success case of what we call internally Ciudad Urdulit, with a number of developments that will be going to the market in different phases. We have more than 400 units in this area located in the northeast of the 20 kilometers from the northeast of Bilbao. This is expected to be delivered in Q4 2017, will be other of the deliveries of this year, and it's 100% pre-sold. You have more details on the margins that you see that are absolutely aligned with what we have been mentioning. But let me finish this presentation before going to the Q&A with just some messages regarding other of the matters that this company is taking care of, and it's what means non-financial reporting. You know that we have a clear commitment with the transformation of the sector, and we want to lead such transformation. Today we have had the board of directors and the committee of this company, and we have been approving new strong measures regarding corporate governance. We have approved a number of best practice policies regarding dividends, policies, investment and financing, selection of board members, expense reimbursements, so each and every rule that improves our corporate governance. You know that we approved, and probably you have seen it, the code of best practices in connection with the broker activity. 60% of the brokers working with us have already signed it, and if they don't sign it, they cannot work with Neynor. And more important than that, today, Neynor Homes is the first home builder and real estate company in Spain that has approved the best practice norms in connection with taxes. That means that we are joining voluntarily to the best practice norms for the Spanish tax authorities. It's the first real estate company doing that in Spain. We have also approved a number of different actions in connection with our industrialization, that you know that we think it's other of our clear competitive advantage, and we want that it's going to be one of the things that it's going to differentiate Neynor from any other company. We have conducted 17 audits of health of safety in our work in progress, in our developments, and that means that the standards that we have approved, as probably you have heard, are significantly above the regulations, and the incidence index of the company are today 24% below the national construction average. But we have also evaluated 119 pre-qualified companies working with us, with exceptional results, and those that are not exceptional will not be able to continue working with us. We have approved the digital transformation plan of the company with 11 specific action plans that we call internally Neynor 3.0 that will be implemented during H2. In connection with the product, 19 of our developments have been already obtained the certification from BREEAM in the design phase. We have launched to the market the mobility pack that we have been working with Illunion, with a package adapted to senior and disabled people. And we are approving, in the beginning of September, the version number 9 of our white paper. You remember it's our design and construction manual, just evolving our product and our industrialization process. And regarding clients, that we are always want to emphasize that this is other of the critical changes in what we are seeing in the transformation of this sector, we have approved the version 2 of our Neynor Experience application, that you know that we interact with our clients through this app. And we have launched already 10 developments with our family protection package. You know that the partnership that we have with the insurance company CMP in order to give comfort to those of our clients that either lose their jobs or die while in the process that they are buying a home with us. So absolutely committed with that transformation of the sector, because we think that it's a clear competitive advantage for us, and we do really think that it's creating value for our investors. No? So I would say that with this, we have been able to cover the main critical aspects of H1 results of Neynor, and I think that we have some fun.
Maybe we can give you a couple minutes to send some additional questions, and we will start answering them, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. We have received a significant number of questions. I'm going to try to answer, just trying to combine some of them, and a number of them regarding HPA, some of them regarding we are revisiting our guidelines, and some other more technical and financial in connection with the OPEX, why has changed. Let me try to go one per one if it's already answered. I will jump in, and Jordi, I will jump into the technical ones that you covered then. No?
Okay.
Those questions regarding HPA, you are asking what are your expectations regarding HPA for H2, what assumptions have you got in your HPA for the gross margins of the 28 and in land acquisitions or the 30 gross margins. Let me try to cover that point. No, the perception, first thing, a reminder, in 2017, we do not have contemplated any HPA as a general rule in our business plan, okay? That does not mean that in some specific, because we always speak about HPA as the add-ons of specific price strategies per land, okay? Some of those land developments from 2017 have some specific increases. That translated into a number, I would say that it's quite modest, it's below 2% at the HPA that we have for this 2017. So are we going to outperform in 2017? The answer is yes. Should we expect that the HPA in H2 is going to continue pushing hard? My perception is clearly a yes. The expectations are in that overall 5%. I would prefer to be disciplined. I would prefer that not to say something that afterwards we do like to outperform, but I would say that the sense is that H2 will continue pushing hard, and that 5%, I would say consensus, it's going to be there, and probably higher. So that would say that that's what's going on. And again, it depends a lot, it depends a lot on different markets. HPA in Catalonia, in each and every land plot that we are kicking off in Catalonia, it's extremely high. We are above 8%, you have seen. In Madrid, it has been a little bit more moderate, but it's not because of it. The concept of HPA, it's quite tricky, because our assumptions, and I'm going to answer to the second question, the assumptions that we have in our initial expectations in Madrid probably is that we are kicking off the development with higher prices. So at the end of the day, the HPA calculated against our initial assumption is not that high. So more than 5% is going to be the case for H2. My answer is yes, it's going to be the case. Are we going to outperform regarding our expectations in connection of our business plan in 2017? The answer is yes. Okay? But I would not like, please, to push harder than your initial expectations. What assumptions do we have in our acquisitions? It's a case-per-case basis, has nothing to do in connection. And you were asking also for some additional color in the acquisitions that we have for this H1. You see that the acquisitions, you have the slides there, where you can see where we have acquired land, and you see that we have acquired land in our areas of comfort and in our areas of expertise, and in markets that honestly are pushing tremendously hard. So I would say that having said that, our HPA assumptions are very disciplined. If I have to say a number, I would say that it's from 1%-3%, having more 3% in areas like Madrid or Barcelona, and more 1% in areas like the south or the north. It's an asset-per-asset analysis, but I would say that we are between 1%-3%. But the critical question here is what's our initial price? At what price we kick off that development? And in that sense, in some cases, we, depending on the product that we are bringing to the market, we can be, in some time, a little bit more aggressive than the peers on the comparable that you have at the same time. So it's very tricky to answer what specific HPA we are applying. It's a price strategy per land, but trying to be specific and answering your question, I would say that 1%-3% in our land acquisitions today, but we internally, honestly speaking, we do not see it as HPAs, but as price strategies per development. Questions, you have another questions regarding if I would say if we revisit our guidelines. Is your calendar of deliveries altered in any way since the IPO? The answer in this sense, I would say it's a clear no in the short term. You know that we have this 29 months since the beginning that we kick off a development until the day that we deliver. So the visibility in the deliveries of 2017, 2018, even 2019, it's things that are already happening today. Okay? So anything that is not kicked off today, as we speak, will not be delivered in 19. So any above expectations regarding our targets of 3,500 to 4,000 should be 2020 onwards. Okay? It is true that the market is pushing hard. It is true that we are being tremendously disciplined in trying to kick immediate new sites to the market. It is true that probably we are trying to kick even more sites that initially that in our initial business plan were prepared to be kicked off in 2018, because we are seeing that the market is responding. But you should not assume a change in deliveries for 17, 18, 19, for sure. Okay. What margins do you expect in developments in H2 deliveries? Basically aligned. Jordi, are in the same trend?
Yeah. We have 3 deliveries left for this year, 2017, and the expected blended margin is 29%. Very aligned.
Okay. So I think that I'm seeing here, Jordi, quite technical. Why the OPEX in Q2 has dropped to only 8 million versus 17.2 million in Q1?
Okay. The OPEX in Q1 report included the full year property tax provision that actually was 4.2 million euros. If you exclude these 4.2 million euros, the total OPEX is roughly 13 million euros. That actually compares with 25.6 million euros of this H1 presentation. So as you can see, the OPEX is very stable.
Okay. Here I'm seeing a question regarding the HPA. Does the combination of the HPA and higher gross margins on new land acquisitions improve your view on medium-term margins? No? If you are not changing that, what HPA assumptions do you need in order to revisit them? No? Of course, the HPA is helping. It's helping our margins. I mean that that's a fact. I would like to send a message of prudence in one sense. My first reaction to those increases in HPA is that the first thing that gives me is a lot of comfort on our margins, on our reported margins. Why? Because if I do have any deviation in our costs for whatever reason, I know that I'm covered with this HPA. Second thing, the market is accelerating, it's booming. I have always said that in our cost increases, we are seeing that today we are going through a structural, not a structural, but conjuntural or transitional situation where the good construction companies know that the market is booming and that they are pushing, obviously, their costs. No, you know that we have Turkey contracts, that we have, I would say that one of our biggest competitive advantages, it's our industrial model, our control on externals, on suppliers. So I would say the answer is yes, HPA is helping for our margins. My first prudent reaction is that gives me much more comfort on the reported margins. If in any case deviations for sure will be absorbed with this HPA, and hopefully we will be able to continue giving you good news. But as of today, I don't want to revisit my guidance. Okay. One very good comment question regarding if we are revising acquisitions. I have sent the message. Regarding that, obviously, we have had a tremendously successful H1 regarding acquisitions. 79% is done, but we have 28 million that hopefully we will be able to be closing within the following weeks, months. And there's a clear question, and this question is perfectly that what's next? We have two options. We have the option of just moderating our acquisitions, waiting for the cash in from the legacy and from delivery. That would mean that just being conservative now, or the other alternative is taking advantage of the momentum and trying to continue buying. If this is the case, and honestly speaking, my perception and that this is what we should do, we are working hard and thinking and with alternatives that hopefully we will be presenting to you very soon to be able to be anticipating 18 acquisitions. So let us work for a few more weeks in order to try to announce how we are going to finance the 2018 anticipation acquisitions. But we are working on it, and I think that probably the momentum and the we have significant number of opportunities in front of us. I think that we want to be very disciplined. We want to be very focused in the ramp up. As many of you investors have always said to us, let's deliver, let's show delivery, let's construct track record, and afterwards see what's next. Having said that, we will continue. We think that we need to continue taking advantage of the opportunities. Our position in the market today is tremendously privileged from an origination and execution capacity, and we hopefully, within a few weeks, we will be able to announce some structure that will help us to anticipate 2018 acquisitions. But leverage, LTV, we want to be very disciplined. And whatever structure we present will mean that we need to be at run rate, the levels of LTV that we have always announced. Okay? So anything that we present will have to be designed in a way that we continue presenting very strong ratios from a leverage LTV perspective. So give us a few more weeks on that, but probably we will be able to give you good news. More questions?
So there is one question regarding on the timing that you expect for liquidating the legacy.
H1 has been very successful. We have been able to sell, I would say, not only a lot, but also some of the most critical assets that we had in our legacy portfolio. No? Basically, those that were not resi granular assets, the hotels and the offices are already sold. Basically, there is still one asset that is not, I would say, resi, and it's already pre-sold, so probably will come into Q3 or not, into Q4. But having said that, again, let me send a conservative message. Obviously, when we think that we have a very good underwriting of these assets, we are prepared to accept good values, but obviously the quality of the assets, as far as you sell, I would say obviously from the 650, the remaining 150 must not be the most liquid. For sure, we will meet our commitment to do it during 17 and 18. We will not complete it. I would say that H2 should not be as good as H1. So my perception would be that during H1 2018, for sure during 18. But hopefully we will continue being able to be as successful as H1. But I do not expect an H2 as good as H1 in connection with the divestment of the legacy.
I think we have one more question remaining.
Yeah.
And it says, how much is the capital gain from this service valuation versus the book value of our land bank?
Jordi?
Actually, gross capital gain is, the number is 450 million euros, roughly. Actually, if you look at the slide number 20, in the last figure, you will see that the total GAV, as commented, is 1.34 billion euros, and our book value is 0.9 billion euros. So, obviously, the gross capital gain is the difference between those numbers.
Okay. Hopefully, I think that all the questions grouped when they were quite similar. I think it's done, no?
Yeah, I think it has been covered. We will review from the IR team. We will review in any case something is not has not been answered, and we will discuss that offline and when we meet in the next couple.
Sorry, I'm seeing a new one that is not how many of your pre-qualified contractors are now in use. Given the increased level of competition, are you seeing any pressure on labor material cost? Are you happy sticking with your previous guidance for bill cost inflation? It's another very good question. I would say from the 50, I think, pre-qualified construction companies, it's not 50, 48, but roughly 50, we are today using 23 different construction companies. Happy with our model, with our strategy of working with construction companies of high quality, regional or national, but not with the big guys. No, we are seeing pressures in cost. The answer is yes. My personal perception is that it's more transitional than structural, and the rational, I have explained it a number of times to some of you, is because Spain has a lot of capacity. It used to be doing a number of years ago. If I have a final second, let me explain one example. Yesterday, I was in a Cabify, in a taxi, and the Cabify that I'm speaking with him, he used to be a structuralist guy, and he was driving, and my the reaction was, why you are not coming back to the sector? If there is a lot of pressure, everyone is looking for structure. I say, oh, yes, it's true. So the market is reacting, is readapting, and there's still the number of final, I would say, subcontractors is readapting to the situation. So, yes, there is pressure. My perception is that it will be, the market will be adapting. But because of the level of competition, because a number of us now are coming to the market, I would say that the situation has changed. The 1.5% assumption that we have in our business plan should be sufficient. If I have a question mark, if it will be sufficient for the next 6 to 12 months, okay, while the market is adapting to the new situation. Once it's done, our experience, what has already happened in Spain, the overcapacity that we have always had. Once this guy from the Cabify come back to the market, I would say that the situation should be, and the assumptions that we have should be sufficient, or if it's slightly higher than that, for sure absolutely absorbed with the HPA over assumptions that we have. And the other question is in connection very similar to how we see the competition in connection with the land disposals from bank portfolios. Can you talk about the potential opportunities of permitted land that you expect to be available over the next 6, 12, 18 months? A lot. We are, I think you see in all the press what's going on with the POPU. For sure, whoever, at the end of the day, whatever decision Santander finally takes, who is buying that, or if they are selling through portfolios or to one investor that will sell, a number of opportunities will be there. We see in front of us different portfolios in different manners. There will be a significant number of opportunities. There are still 30 billion there. The market is accelerating. The owners of the land are seeing that there might be an opportunity because the number of new companies that are there, home building is booming in Spain now. So I think that today we have been discussing different number of portfolios that are there. No? So opportunities will be there. Again, the same message that I have always tried to transmit. We need to be tremendously disciplined. Any portfolio that we are prepared to present must be very accretive, must comply with the gross margins and the developer margins that we have always committed with you. And if nothing happens, if it does not meet those requirements, we are more than good where we are today. So opportunities will be there. We will evaluate each and all of them. It's our obligation. As any of them is accretive, for sure, we will try to go for it.
Okay. Very well. So this marks the end of this webcast. We thank you all for your time and for participating, sending the questions. We will review them, and if anything was unanswered, we will get back in touch with you. We expect to be meeting you in the next coming weeks. Remember that this webcast is recorded and will be available for on-demand listening, and also the transcript will be made available. Thank you very much. Tracy, we pass it over to you.